It's time for Tales of Lincoln County with your hosts, Katie Thornton and Abel Guzman from the Humane Society.
Good morning from the Humane Society and welcome to Tales of Lincoln County. I'm Katie Thornton and with me today is my co-host, Executive Director Abel Guzman.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And if you hear a little flutter in the background, we actually do kind of have another mascot or host with us. Her name is Gia. She is a kind of an ambassador out of the Humane Society. She is such a great example of how wonderful and loving an adopted dog can be. So welcome, G. We're glad you're here with us this morning. So listen, welcome everybody, and we hope to share some insightful conversations, some expert advice, and some inspiring stories and information about animal welfare and advocacy. Remember, this is just not regarding our homeless animals. This is for pet owners as well. So if you're passionate about animals and want to learn how to make a difference in the lives of animals, then this show is for you. We have some special guests with us today.
We do. Two special guests.
I know, but wait. Do you know what today is?
What's today?
You don't know what today is?
Wait a minute.
It's Smokey Bear Day.
That's right.
I know. Hey, some listeners might be in the car listening to us headed up to Capitan, but yes, it is Smokey Bear Day. It's his 81st birthday today, and there's going to be a lot of food, fun, vendors, and the parade. I mean, it is a classic all-American little town parade. But I'm mentioning this because HSLC has a booth there today.
They do.
And we have some very special guests with us up there today. We're going to have some adoptable dogs that we hope you come by and meet. They're waiting for new homes. And we're going to have a lot of brochure and information on free and low-cost pet resources available for your pets. And kids always receive a free pet care activity book. And we always really have some cool merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
The new teal shirts are cool, aren't they?
They are. They're okay. Awesome.
Love okay. Them. All right. I'm finished. Your turn. Let's go.
My turn. All right. No, we want to just go over a little bit about the shelter update, you know, just let people know how things are going there. Adoptions are pretty good. Unfortunately, you know, this last month, it's been a little rough with animals coming in.
It is.
Have you noticed that?
Day to day. And it is a lot of, you know, stray animals.
Yeah.
But then another topic we want to talk about is what we call
owner relinquished.
Yes, and we're hoping to have a little bit of insight on that and maybe provide some resources to help owners out.
Yes, exactly. That's been a biggie. You know, we even have a waiting list up there for owner relinquished right now.
Oh, boy, so, yeah.
And this is something that's not just here. It's
everywhere. Yeah. We know from all of our partners in Humane around in our area how full everybody is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're well over 50 right now. And like I said, they keep coming in every day. And
yes,
that includes dogs, cats, and puppies.
Exactly. And we'll be going over that with our special guest.
Yes,
later.
Yes.
On,
look
but,
forward to it.
Yeah, but those are some of the challenges that we're facing right now. It's just more animals coming in than going out. But
yeah,
we'll see what we can do about it.
Absolutely.
That. We see.
We're up for the challenge.
There you go. Well, should we get started?
Yeah,
with
let's
our
get
first
going. Let's talk about our first guest.
Our first special guest is Mr. Robert Simpson. He's our animal control officer here in Redoso.
Hi there. A lot of folks in Redoso know me as Bobby. My name is Robert Simpson. I'm the manager for animal control code enforcement here in the village of Redoso. If you've ever found a stray animal that you needed some help with or coming through and visiting and you run into one of us, it's me and a few staff that handle animal control here for the village. You want me to go ahead and just go over my thing?
Yeah, we want to go over a little bit about the process, right?
Okay.
Yeah, there's a process that happens before they even come to the Humane Society. So what happens? How does that go?
So a real brief breakdown is our agency, we handle cats, dogs. Heck, I've picked up pigs, I've picked up turkeys, I've picked up any number of animals, you name it. But ultimately, today we'll kind of stick with dogs and cats. As far as, say, a loose dog, we're going to come and we're going to pick up that dog. One of the big things that I recommend to owners is obviously microchipping. Microchipping has come a long way since I started my career, and it's actually something that's mandatory for Village of Redoso residents. We've seen an uptick since the ordinance changed, and we actually utilize that information quite a bit when we're out in the field. The Humane Society of Lincoln County was awesome enough to get us some microchip scanners to our staff that are out in the field. So we have a couple of those scanner tools that we will actually use to scan a pet for a microchip. And if we have the time and the ability, which in most cases we will take that time, kind of make sure that we have that time. If we pick up a dog, we're going to check it for a microchip. beyond microchip, one of the things that you can do is a lot of pet owners have this. Sometimes they're real fancy engraved tags. Sometimes they're just a separate tag. And something that has a name and phone number, that's even easier above and beyond the ordinance requirement of that microchip. Microchips do get animals home. But you want to get them home even faster, some kind of identifying something with a phone number that helps us even more when we're out in the field. So let's say that Fluffy gets loose. Fluffy's running down the road and we get a call. We're able to capture Fluffy, you know, put Fluffy on the truck. We're going to use whatever tools that we have with us. It's going to be leashes or whatever that we have with us. Sometimes we'll use treats. Unfortunately, we don't carry every brand of treat. We just carry what we can. So, but we'll use treats, whatever we can, to coax the dog to us, and then we'll secure him in our animal control vehicle. At that point, again, we're going to check for a microchip. We're going to check for a phone number. We're going to try and, you know, even ask neighbors. We had a call just the other day where there were two dogs running down the road, and before we even got to the dog, someone was flagging us down saying, hey, I know who's looking for those dogs. They're over on such and such street, and we didn't even have to make any phone calls. We knew exactly where they were because someone said, oh, yeah, they're just two streets over looking for their dogs. So we loaded the pups up, went around the block, found the owners, and that was great. So the community helps us a ton when we're out looking for owners of these found animals. A big thing that people don't think about is either calling the police department or the shelter to let them know, hey, I'm missing my dog. Sometimes people don't know, you know, they're at work and a dog's gotten out of a yard. Sometimes those things happen, but I would say the majority of the time they know that the dog's loose, they're out looking for them, but they just haven't made those phone calls. So one of the first things you should do is contact the Humane Society of Lincoln County, and then also contact our non-emergency dispatch, which we're going to say this number several times over the course of this. That non-emergency number is 575-258-7365. And you can select option one for dispatch. They'll take your information. I've had people call in saying, I've lost my pet. And the dispatcher says, actually, animal control's out with your dog right now. So it works out really great if you can get that information out to us.
So we've seen an uptake also in some aggressive dogs that come around, you know, and you know, a lot of these dogs, they're not from our area. You know, they go chasing after deer and stuff. What are they supposed to do in that situation?
So I warn people to be very wary in trying to handle an animal that you're not familiar with. You know, let's say an animal is injured in some way and you don't know it and you go to try and pick them up. They can easily turn around and bite you. Let's say it's a dog that's never been on a leash before and you really don't have the training or the expertise to know what to do when a dog kind of doesn't like being put on a leash. Definitely those are situations that I don't recommend handling unless you either have a level of training of some sort or you know the dog personally. Those are two circumstances that you can definitely get involved. But beyond that, if you find a dog running loose, contact our agency. We work with the surrounding agencies. We work with our police officers, and they're great. They come out and they help us a lot of times to try and locate animals, especially, you know, if we lose sight of them and they've kind of run over a block, and they're great for that. So yeah, contacting that non-emergency dispatch number if you do see a loose dog so that we can get out there and handle that. But definitely don't go to try and get hands-on with a dog that you don't know, because we have seen an uptick in some of these more aggressive dogs, and maybe not even aggressive, maybe fearful even in some cases where it's not so much aggression. They're just very fearful.
But it just sounds like good common sense. And, of course, I'm one of them as well. If I see a dog, especially too close to the road, I'll stop. Mm-hmm. And if that dog is weary, goes away, you know, you just call that non-emergency number. Mm-hmm. Now, if the dog responds to you friendly, possibly, I still would encourage everybody to really, really have some caution nowadays.
Yeah. And just use caution and use your head is what it kind of comes down to. We utilize all kinds of things. And in a case where, let's say we have maybe not an aggressive dog, but a very fearful dog that won't come to us with coaxing, with treats and things like that, we have even large dog traps that are humane traps that are non-harming to the animals that we can set out and try and capture a dog. We've utilized those quite a bit here in the recent months in capturing dogs that we couldn't get in other ways. So we definitely have more resources than your average person on the street, and giving us a call to try and get us involved is the best way to go.
Oh, that's good. You know, another thing, kittens.
We have seen a very large uptick in kittens here recently.
And people sometimes, they want to go grab them.
Yeah. My theory with that is I recommend to everyone, including my staff, please don't go hands-on with cats. You never know what they're going to do. One of the big things is they may let you pick them up and they're purring in your arms. And then as soon as you try and walk over to a vehicle, they've never been around a vehicle. They definitely don't want to go in the vehicle, and they can turn around and they are just basically nails and teeth all of a sudden.
Yeah, they become slashers. So, yeah. So, again, don't do that unless you, you know,
We definitely would rather, if you're having a situation like that, give us a call. We can give some recommendation on getting a trap set. A lot of times we can get a trap set the same day, depending on our call load and what we're working on. But definitely give us a call rather than, especially cats, but even timid dogs. Don't go making foolish decisions, I guess was a great way to put it. Yes. Try and use that common sense.
Mm-hmm. No, thanks for highlighting that part. But another topic we want to go over is, you know, flood season's coming, fire season. What can you tell us about that, especially with owned animals?
So one of the best things that I can give advice to pet owners is do some kind of forward thinking about this. I mean, we know these things happen. We live in a wooded area. We know that there's a potential for flooding. Some forward thinking on the part of especially animal owners, but everyone in general, to take some precautions for some of these emergency events. I've seen some really great things during some of these events where you walk up to a front door to evacuate it, and they actually have a sticker on the front door that says 2 humans and 3 dogs. Sometimes it'll even have the breeds. And there's some really cool information out there that you can even put right on your front door to indicate to first responders that, you know, there's animals in the house.
Let me add that we do have these stickers available right now at the shelter. So
awesome.
If you need one, come by and get them. And like you said, it identifies to any first responder that there are animals.
And that helps us not only in emergency situations, but also, you know, in the event of a fire just at that location or the need for an evacuation for whatever the reason may be. Your first responders, they do take note of those. I will say that even, you know, our firemen, they'll actually say, oh, yeah, you know, they get an indication that there's 2 dogs in the house as well. So we need to make sure we clear the house and get the animals out. So that's first. Second off, kind of giving some forward thinking about what you're going to do in one of those circumstances. Do you have a friend that can keep your animals somewhere outside of whatever that evacuation zone or that hazard may be? Do you have somewhere that you can take the animals with you? That's my recommendation, is to keep the animals with you. They're more comfortable with you rather than being placed in a holding area while you kind of settle down. So that's the best thing you can do, is really keep your pets with you. But just kind of forward thinking. We've been through these events recently with the floods and the fires, and people have had to be evacuated, and a lot of people had to make those split-second decisions. Have some forward thinking about it so that if something does happen in the future, you kind of have a general game plan on where you're going to go, where your pets are going to go, and how you're going to handle that situation. On that topic, during these major events such as the fires and floods, your animal control officers, my staff, we're typically out with the patrol officers and even the firefighters, and we're out helping evacuate people. We're doing whatever needs to be done in that circumstance. Obviously, if there's an animal situation that arises, that's going to be our priority. But we're also helping the first responders, whether it's evacuations or just road closures or whatever it may be. So we're going to be out and about. We're going to be right in the middle of it, kind of knowing what's going on at the same time. So we're definitely going to be right in the mix of things. So some forward thinking on the animal owner's parts will definitely help in the long run getting to a safe environment so you have your animals secured with you.
Yeah, that's been a big topic of ours.
Yeah.
We've been really promoted animal preparedness.
Yes.
So not only you prepare for your family, you prepare for your animals as well.
Yes.
You need to have a suitcase packed, ready to go at a moment's notice. You need to have your doggy bag. If you have a kennel, we highly recommend you go ahead and grab the kennel and go.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, know where you're going to go. You know, we got pushed all outside of Rio Doce. Some places take animals, some don't. So all that information is on our website at hslcnm.org. So check it out.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Yeah.
One call we always get at the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
A deer is outside with a chair in its horns.
The elk.
Yeah, we do have a very large population of wildlife here in the village of Rio Doce. And I'm sure anyone who's listening to this that's ever been around Rio Doce, you've had your fair share of encounters with them, whether it be near roadways or just kind of funny circumstances. Occasionally, these animals will get into trouble. And by trouble, I mean one of the common ones is the animals with their antlers, they'll get into hammocks. One of the big things is Christmas lights, chairs, all kinds of things. So our department, we work hand in hand with New Mexico Game and Fish. We have a very close working relationship with them. If you do have something here in the local area that's regarding wildlife, a concern about any kind of wildlife, the same number, reach out to that non-emergency number and we can send one of our officers to kind of address that situation and see if we can get it, at least get the correct people headed that way. New Mexico Game and Fish are the ones who make decisions on whether they need to take action with the animal, if tranquilizing is the correct method, what needs to happen in that circumstance. So we'll kind of first respond, address the situation, or at least get eyes on it, and then we can communicate better with New Mexico Game and Fish.
Okay. No, thanks for that information.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
one question I have about you are regarding local ordinances. Mm-hmm. You know, that has changed over the years. And mm-hmm. so now we talked earlier about microchipping.
Yes.
So briefly discuss that.
So we've had several changes in our ordinances. One of the big ones that benefits getting animals home is the microchipping ordinance. So the requirement is any animal that's owned by a person residing within the village of Ruidoso, their animal must be microchipped. In lieu of, we used to have an ordinance that said you had to have a registration tag. Now, the problem with tags, they don't always stay on. A dog rubs up against a chain link fence or whatever the case may be, and those tags get lost. So the microchips are just basically a tag that cannot get lost. It's something that's always going to be there with that animal, and we're able to use a scanner tool to be able to check that number and identify that owner so we can get that animal home. With that ordinance, to be very honest, we've probably seen, in my experience anyway, I don't have exact numbers, but I'm going to say about 90% of the animals that we pick up are microchipped.
That's great news.
So, and that's loose animals. I mean, those are the ones that we're dealing with. So these aren't just people we're seeing walk around at the park checking them for microchips. Mm-hmm. We're not definitely going door to door to make sure people have microchips installed with their in their animals. But ultimately, the microchips are being more prominent in the animals that we're picking up. And like I say, 90% is probably just a little bit high, but definitely more than 75% of the animals that we pick up. And maybe you guys are seeing different numbers on your side. But
no, it's about the same, yeah.
No,
yeah.
That's great news because we've said it for months now, and we still have plenty of supply. We're giving away free microchips.
Yeah, and you can't. I mean, there's almost no excuse at that point. When you have free microchip clinics and it's an ordinance, it's required. I mean, ultimately, the ordinance, we could issue a citation for something like that. I would rather just get someone in compliance because my goal is to get your dog home to you. If you
absolutely
lost your dog, we just want to get it home.
That's our goal as well. So, again, we have free microchips. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to have an appointment. You just come out to the shelter. It's a non-invasive, maybe 15-minute little procedure. Sometimes we've had people that are physically challenged or issues. We will come to the car and do it for you. And then you simply go online, open an account, put your information in there. Now, it's very important to keep your information updated. You know, if you move, number changes or whatever, but it is guaranteed to keep your pet safe.
Yeah. And the thing is you're right about the phone numbers because we've stumbled across a few where, I mean, if your phone number's no good anymore that was registered with your microchip, we can't contact you. Mm-hmm. And so it makes it a little bit difficult, but we haven't seen a lot of that, but definitely keep your information up to date.
Yeah. What about ordinance regarding spay and neuter?
So yes, any animals over the age of 3 months are required to be spayed or neutered. We do, as far as when we're going out on different calls, we're going to be checking to make sure that these animals are spayed and neutered, but the shelter really does the big impact. Say if we pick up an animal and it ends up going to the shelter, they organize to get whatever needs to be done to make sure that that animal does get spayed and neutered, and then we kind of assist on the back end to follow up to make sure that they actually did go through and do it. But yes, spay and neuter is a big thing, and then that's where puppies and kittens come from. Which
well,
just
it's springtime, like you're talking about all the cats. It's all these unnecessary litters that we preach on, unfortunately, every year. You know, it's pet owner responsibility as well because, you know, we talk about the unnecessary litters, but the flip side of that is it's a better behaved dog. You know, gets rid of bad habits. It's just it's a better, healthier lifestyle for your animal to be spayed and neutered.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely, definitely. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for coming.
One more thing about flooding and fires, especially with the floods that we could be seeing some, you know, things that upcoming. We still have this burn scar that's through here. We definitely still have the potential for flooding. We're coming into monsoon time where we could be having some of those potential floods. If you live in an area that could be affected by floods, keep an eye on your fence. Because we've had a few circumstances that if you have an animal that's has access to a backyard, you may not even know it and something could have happened to your fence. And I've seen weakened fences. I've seen elk knock down fences because mm-hmm. they got weakened because of some of these things. It's kind of changed a lot of things. So if you're in any of those flood prone areas, just keep an eye on your secured area for your animals. And that even extends all the way to your home. If you've got a doggy door that you secure or even a back door, I've known dogs that can open doors. Definitely just kind of make sure that you're doing your due diligence to make sure your pets are staying up so that they're not running around in the street.
No, that's a good point.
Good deal.
No, thank you.
Okay, well, we have another special guest, don't we?
We do.
I know.
Another special guest. I'm pretty sure everybody knows this gal here.
Yeah.
Miss Chris Scholes, our shelter manager. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, it's good to be here because we want to take all the good, important information Bobby gave to us and kind of apply it over to our side, our end on the Humane Society. So let's kind of take a step back where Bobby started about strays. So they pick up, they get a pick up a stray, no microchip, no tags or whatever, and they come to us at the shelter. Give us a little bit of insight on what happens.
So when we first get an animal in, you know, of course, we'll double check for microchip or any injuries or any identifying marks. We do our best to try to post them on Facebook that, you know, hey, we've had a stray come in. Is this your animal? Please come claim. Some of the things that people don't realize is that there is a limitation on stray hold. Our stray hold is 3 days. We're giving that owner 3 days to contact us. We go through our lost and found book. We try to find reports, anything like that. You know, as soon as your animal's missing, the best thing to do, like Bobby said, is contact either your animal control officer or the shelter, preferably both. That way we can get these animals back to you. Unfortunately, a lot of times people do not contact us within those 3 days. Once the 3 day hold is up, you know, that means that, you know, we're now eligible to adopt this dog out or this cat out, you know, we'll start our health checks and seeing how they are with other animals and people and get to know them and everything else from that point. So, you know, the second you realize, you know, maybe you get home from work and, you know, your dog's missing, then you need to call the shelter and animal control right away and double check. We are the only shelter in Lincoln County. So always a good idea to have our phone number, 575-257-9841, and give us a call or even reach out on Facebook. I have volunteers that run our Facebook and everything. So
they do a great job. I mean, yeah. We get it up there as soon as we can. You know, the photos up there, and we're asking for owners, or if you think you know who the dog is or who the owners are, you know, just shoot us a private message. I mean, we really monitor that, and that's a great resource for us. And we've been very successful with owner returns, I do believe, just through Facebook.
Yeah, just through the pictures.
Really good. Yeah. What if, Bobby, since you're still here,
sure,
you guys find an animal does have a microchip.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys contact the shelter?
We do. So there, with that microchip scanner, it's going to give us a long number. And so with that number, we have to locate basically how that correlates to owner information. And that's through several different systems. Some of those systems are intertwined and interconnected, and some of them not so much. For the most part, the microchips, at least that the Humane Society has been putting in and utilizing, those ones are pretty broad, and they pick up by all kinds of scanners, and they're very integrated into the rest of all these systems. So if we do pick up an animal and say, I scan the animal and I say, oh, it's got a microchip, one of the first things I'll do is call Chris over at the shelter, and I'll say, hey, I got this number. Can you check it in your system for me? If it's not in their immediate system, she's got the contacts for the rest of it. And she starts working on our behalf while we're out in the field making sure that the dog is safe. And then usually, if we do have a dog with a microchip, we can actually get a phone number or an address, and we can get the dog home within minutes. We don't even have to go to the shelter. So it eliminates that whole trip to the shelter. It eliminates the whole process for intake to the Humane Society. And again, from the animal control side, our goal is to get your pets home. We're not here to come out and write you tickets or, you know, make you feel bad. We do want your pets safe, and so our goal is to get them home. And Chris with the shelter, she's awesome. She answers the phone every time and says, yeah, let me look it up.
She doesn't let it go to voicemail,
no,
right?
No, she won't let it. She will answer every time because she says, no, you keep that dog out there. I don't want it.
Right? She don't want it in the shelter. Yeah.
No. Well, listen, I want to expand on that about our animal control officers. Listen, folks, this is not the day of the dog catcher. You know, everybody would run and hide and stuff like that. I mean, you know, these are dedicated, you know, trained professionals that, you know, come into this job generally caring about the welfare of animals to start with. And, you know, they're out there every day putting themselves in situations that can be dangerous, you know, whether it's the animal, the traffic, the terrain or whatever. And so they're out there. It's public safety. I mean, it's for our community and pets. So anyway, hey, next time you see Bobby, give him a thumbs up.
Well, thank you for the kind words. Thank you very much. We are really in the public service industry. That's what it comes down to. We're trying to help the public, including the pets.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one other thing, Chris, I want you to lean into is our spot program, spay and neuter, because, you know, it's spring. We have too many animals now because of this. They're just not all strays. And a little bit about our low-cost program.
So we do have a low-cost program. It's income-based. It's called our spot program. What you do, it takes 5 minutes. Honestly, it's just real quick. Bring in your proof of income, everybody in the household. You do have to be a resident of Lincoln County. You bring in an EBT or Medicaid card. We verify your income, and if you fall within that income that allows you to get this voucher, it's $45. You know, limit 2 animals per household per year. That's 2 animals fixed. That's quite a few less kittens and puppies out there, because
yes,
we are starting to see a whole lot coming in. And, you know, it's, you know, they say, oh, it was a mistake. You know, your fence might go down and your dog get out and accidentally, you know, oops, here comes a litter.
Like Bobby said, check your fences.
Check your fences. Make sure your pets stay up.
But we do have that low-cost spay and neuter program. So, yeah, just bring in proof of income, everybody in the household, your EBT or Medicaid card. Like I said, it takes 5 minutes, $45 per animal.
Yeah. And it's easy because, I mean, you get the voucher, you contact whatever veterinarian of your choice. You can make appointment around your schedule. And it's just, it is so easy to do, just like the free microchip. Yeah. So please look into that. And again, all that information is on our website at hslcnm.org. And just one last question is on these owner relinquishes that are happening right now. I mean, we know that we are in a tough economic time. Does there seem to be a common thread of people calling in and reasons behind that? And what do you think that, you know, we could do to, you know, provide more resources for them?
You know, honestly, it's, we get all kinds of reasonings. You know, they're one end to the other. You know, you name it, there is some help out there. You know, some are contacting because of aggression or that they're having issues with socializing. You know, we do have some dog trainers here in town that can help out with that. You know, we try to give what pointers we can over the phone to work with their animal, you know, things to do.
Isn't there like a hotline that Animal Humane has?
Animal Humane, actually, yes. Animal Humane has a phone number that you can contact, and they can work with you on behavioral or, you know, anything like that. You know, maybe it's a matter of getting your animal fixed. You know, maybe it's just socializing or working with them or training, you know, some simple things that you can do at home. You know, anytime we get food donated to the shelter, we do take that to our local food bank here in Lincoln County, and they do distribute, you know, dog food and cat food, you know, and maybe it's just a matter of getting food, you know. You know, we try to do what we can to help that animal stay home because ultimately that's the best place for them. Coming into a shelter, it's scary for an animal. They don't know what's going on. There's a whole lot of new noises and smells and people they don't know and everything else. And to see them come in and be, you know, very sad, it's hard, but I have some great staff and volunteers that, you know, they work their heart out and really work with these animals and try to get them to come around and show them as much love as they can. So we want to help the public as much as possible in order to keep those animals at home and not have to come into a shelter.
Well, I know, and I commend you and the staff and all of our volunteers. You know, those volunteers are the backbone of what we do. We're just here to help. I just would ask that, you know, before it possibly reaches that point of you just feeling so overwhelmed about relinquishing your animal, reach out. We mentioned the hotline, you know, the food bank. Then we have on our website under pet resources, there's information there to help you. We even have low-cost vaccines. Now, we're not out there to compete with our partners, the vets, or whatever. Yeah. Again, it's just a service to help people keep healthy, happy animals and hopefully keep your animals at home.
Yeah. And, you know, and a lot of times, too, it's, you know, people might be looking into, oh, I might be getting a new job soon or, you know, relocating or something. You know, maybe just holding off before getting a new animal.
Yeah.
Until you get settled. A lot of times, get yourself settled first, and then as much as we want to have that furry animal around, you know, sometimes you have to wait a little bit.
Or sometimes they want to get a puppy for the
holidays.
We see an uptake in that. Now, you got to really think about it first.
That's kind of the forethought thing I was talking about, not just with disasters, but also just decisions.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to think about, you know, the upcoming future, you know.
You do. And the staff does a great job in qualifying potential adopters. I mean, we know a lot about this dog, the size, the personality, the breed. And, you know, we want to be sure it is a good, long-lasting relationship and fit. Yeah. You know, if it's, you know, a big dog to have an area, if it's an active dog, you need a yard. If it's a dog that's a little shy of cats, no cats, or, you know, needs to be an only child or whatever, we really do a great job in trying to, like I said, make that a lasting relationship. So anyway, well, good deal. Well, listen, thanks, guys. It has been a great informational day today.
Definitely.
And we want to thank you both for being here and
thank
sharing.
You guys.
I just want to give our phone number for Rodessa Area Dispatch one more time.
Absolutely.
It's 575-258-7365. 258-7365. That'll get you to dispatch. That'll get you animal control or any of the village resources that we can offer.
Mm-hmm. And Bobby, can they help get to other dispatchers like county and Capitan?
Absolutely. We can at least, if you don't know what you need exactly, get to our dispatch and we can at least point you in the right direction for sure.
Exactly. And listen, I've called them many a times, you know, seeing strays that, you know, needed assistance. Very kind, very helpful, very efficient, and they will help you and get you in the direction that they need to go.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah,
cool. Definitely. Thanks again, Bobby. So,
absolutely.
Well, I guess it's about that time.
Need to
sign off here quickly. However, let's talk about the next show. We get so excited.
Right. Well, next show, we're going to have another special guest.
Yes.
He's going to tell us all about how the resale shop helps out the Humane Society.
You know, everybody knows Humane Society of Lincoln County, and need to add the resale shop, because the resale shop is very important to us. We have wonderful staff and volunteers over there, and due to their efforts and just the constant support from our community that donate and shop there, they are able to assist us in our annual operational budget.
Yes, definitely.
You know, it's very, very important.
Definitely. And, you know, the annual June sales coming up, 21st of June, get ready for that. There's some nice stuff.
Yeah, save the date. But listen, let's back it up a little bit. To help us and to help us continue to care for the homeless animals, we always need donations.
Yeah.
So look, spring cleaning.
Yes.
Yeah. Moving.
Yep.
Yep. Or just want to declutter.
Yeah.
Think about us. We're taking donations every day, even your large items. We have a new van. You call. It's easy. Make an appointment. We'll come out and pick up any of your large items for you.
575-808-8540. Call them, and they'll put you on the schedule.
I know. And it's for free.
Yes.
Not going to get any better
exactly,
than that.
Exactly,
right? Yeah. And we have one other special date out there, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Man, and everybody loves to dress up for these.
I wish I had the theme song just to play it.
I know, huh?
I won't try to sing it, okay?
August 1st. What's going on August 1st?
Ooh, it's the Fur Ball, our annual big fundraiser. And this year, really fun special theme.
Yes.
Hawaii Fido. Get ready. We're going to hear it. It's
Dino's
chin. They're going to come in, and they're going to help us save a bunch of animals.
Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. We hope you guys join us on that. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Put those dates down and really help us. Hey, listen, we want to thank the Village and this opportunity to share insights on animal welfare and advocacy, you know, educational pet information for our community. Community's great. We love you guys. And together we can create, you know, a better humane society for our animals here. So, Chris, Bobby, thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. For having
it's
me.
Fun.
Hey, Abel, thanks.
Thank you, Miss Kay.
Okay, and hey, I always end everything I say by remember, adopt, don't shop. This has been KRUI The Mountain.
You've been listening to Tales of Lincoln County with Kitey Thornton and Abel Guzman on KRUI 1490 AM and 99.1 FM, The Mountain.